449. Let's find a hymnal. 449. Let's all stand together. Dwelling in Beulah Land. Was raining down manna for their food. Like every day, every morning you'd wake up and there's food out there on the ground. Cheeseburgers, hot dogs, pizzas. I mean, maybe not like that, but you know exactly what manna is, don't you? Yeah, me either. Grits. Now what is it? That's it. What is it? That's it. Anyhow, Maybe. I like grits, so that'd be all right. But, you know, just imagine every day you go out there and get that, and God is always just supplying. And they said, hey, don't get greedy. Don't get greedy with them grits, right? Because tomorrow there's going to be a whole nother supply. You know what they'd do if they kept it overnight? It is rotten the next day. Except for on the Sabbath, it'd last for 2 days. They'd get enough for 2 days worth and it would last. Why? Well, why? Well, it's the way the sun shone on Saturday. No, listen, it's just the way God works. And you know, really that's what this is talking about. God wants to, God still does that. Now, maybe not with the grits. Amen. I like the grits. Let's go with that. Maybe not with that, but God gives us those kind of things in our life if we'll see it. You know, even that day, you know what they did? Say, you know, I remember the leeks and the garlics. I remember. Why can't we have some meat? God said, you want meat? I'll give you meat. I preach a message like, you want meat? I'll give you meat. It's the title of it. And he gave them meat till it came out of their nostrils. That's what it says, what the Bible says. You know what it means coming out of your nostrils? That's right. What? They're throwing up grits. No, that was meat. Then it got ugly for them. That's the truth, or kind of like that. That is what he said. It was coming out of their mouth so much that, and then folks started dying from that kind of thing. Listen, God already has for us if we'll see it. Amen. See, this is what happens when I don't get to preach on a Sunday night. But,
Oh, my.
Are
you ready?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Good evening, everybody. Okay, here's some questions for you. This answer probably wasn't in the letter, but I hope you heard me. This is a spirituality question. What was that book he was using to study Baptist history? No. Can we get the guy back in the booth?
Brother Bob, he didn't raise his hand, but
we'll let him. Did he?
He
did raise his hand?
I said he didn't, but we'll let him have it anyway.
All right. You got it, too. It was a trail of blood. And this guy got it, too. Does he have a sticker back there? I'll give him both one. Call it a tie. Okay. Nice job, brother. That's all right. James, spirituality. Very good. Yep. All right. Next question is a history question. They've banned street evangelism here. This was Britain's first city, an ancient Roman capital. What's the name of the city?
Colchester.
Yeah, Colchester. Very good. Colchester. Yeah? Thank you. That's history for James Reed. There you go.
Nice job.
And here's a church question. They go get the seniors every week and take them grocery shopping. That's not their biggest problem. What is their biggest problem? I saw one over here. Did you look over here? I think I saw his hand.
Okay, I didn't see him over there.
I know, it's hard. Go ahead, Victor. What?
Loneliness.
Yeah, it's loneliness. Okay. How about a tie? Come on up. Let me get yours.
Did he know
it? Yes, I think he. What? Yeah, I think he did it. He works hard. Okay, that was church. Very good. Thank you. Very good, buddy. Church. Keep up the good work. All righty. Y'all have a good evening.
Thank you, Pastor. Hey, amen. We get us one of those plexiglass pulpits I could see through. Probably not. Just kidding. Hey, amen. Let's find a hymnal. Turn over number 228. Yeah, that I was just telling Brother John that story when he sent his letter about the fellow being for street preaching that got arrested. I was looking in the news today. That exact story he's linked to. It's made national news today about getting arrested there in London for preaching. I don't know the whole story with all of that, but anyhow. So we better be afraid. Just kidding. Just kidding. We're not going to be. Amen. Be ready. 228. Let's all stand once again. I love to tell the story. Through the rest of the period of time that we have here, I guess, for a few next into next month. We have, typically on Sunday nights, we've been in the going through the book of Job, and it's really this, the life of Job, and really looking at it from an aspect of a man whose faith is on trial, right? And it's very interesting as I've gone through this, and some of the language that's used in there kind of gives this courtroom kind of like they're judging. So it's an interesting thing. We'll get back to that next week. And so be looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to that. And so, again, we've mentioned a few times about the Hira teen. We're also going to have Hira Junior. Amen. So we got some of the juniors who are, we also have junior camp. We have teen camp. We talk about teen camp a little bit more maybe. But we also have junior camp is the next week after teen camp. And It's great too. I went both weeks last year. It's really a great time. And matter of fact, I was so intrigued. Mrs. Nance does a missionary story with the junior camp. And I'm sitting there. I am tuned in. I had never heard that story. Never heard that mission. I'm listening to it, and she's telling the story. She's got the storybook, and she's reading the story, and she's got it open. I mean, she's a good storyteller. She's reading it. And I'm just like, I'm tuned in, like, what happened next? And she'd close and say, we'll hear the rest of it tomorrow. And I'm like, oh, come on. I'm one of them. I'm with the kid. Man, I loved it. It was awesome. And so I hope she does that. I think maybe she does that every year. I'm looking forward to that. And so it's a great time at camp, and it's a little bit, the kids, they'll wear you out both weeks. But by the second week, I was like, you know what? I'm going to watch, you know. And but it's a great time, great things happening there. And so we want to help our kids. If you're able to, want to help them. I think it's good for parents to pay the kids' way. Amen. But I think it's good if a kid can earn their way. You know, just give a little bit of something. I've been to camps, and we ran camp for about 7 years, and we'd watch kids come. They were too poor for their parents to pay. Parents wouldn't give any money, bus kids or something, and the parents wouldn't give them any money to come to pay their way, but they'd come with about $20 or $30 worth of spending money for candy. Yeah, I don't know how it goes, but when a kid does something to earn it, it means a little more to them, you know, and they did something for that, and they have their own, they've earned their own spending money and so forth with families. And so this coming Thursday at 7 o'clock, we're having our end-of-year program for our school, Heritage Baptist Academy, and we're going to have the kids are going to be doing, students are going to be doing some of the music they've done. We're going to talk about some of the things that they've accomplished. And we do twice a year. We have it at the end of each semester, the character awards and, honor roll and those kind of things. And so we really want to encourage you to be a part of what you're involved in, right? This is a church ministry. This is not, we really try as hard as we can to make our academy not a separate entity from our church. That it's as much, and we have church members that want to come and be a come speak chapel, come to see our kids, and most of them are, most everybody that comes and finds out our students, they sit up and pay attention. They're very attentive, and sometimes they might seem a little bit like, but they grab a hold of what's said, and so we try to do that, and so it's just one of those occasions. Again, also, we've talked about this junior activity that's coming up. We have a lot of times different youth. We have youth rallies, right? Different. And I'm thankful for these churches that host those. I really am, because there's a lot of effort, a lot of work, and bringing speakers in and food and all these things. So I'm glad when there's other churches do it and we get to take our teams. But there's not really juniors rallies, right? And there's a reason for that, because as teens, there becomes a little bit more. They're getting closer to adulthood. And so some of those here said, let's have a junior activity. So we're doing something for the juniors here at church. It's going to kind of those in age 5 to 5th grade. That's a span, you know, 5 to, what, 11 or something like that? Yeah, that's a 6-year span. It's all right, but they're going to be mostly playing Legos. No, that's the theme. We're going to be doing some other things there. And then we have, as mentioned, we have church cleaning every Friday, 9 a.m. And we get together and we fellowship a little bit, you know, drink coffee, and then things happen. You know, we have a lot of work to clean up behind this crowd. No, I'm kidding, but it's really, we have a lot of people here that, not a lot, but we have enough people here that do a little bit, and so everybody comes, and so and sure encourage you to be a part of that. Looking forward tonight to Brother John coming and preaching. I said to him, I said, be ready. I said, get a message ready and be ready. When you're ready to preach, I want you to preach on a Sunday night. He said, okay, and he came back, you know, I don't know, maybe it was about 5 minutes at the end of the conversation, said, by the way, Pastor, he said, I've got a message ready. I said, all right, I said it, right? I was already halfway done with my message, but I thought, you know what? I said it, so come on. And so we're looking forward to him here in just a minute. We're going to sing one more song, but looking forward to him coming and preaching right after this song. Number three. Go ahead and remain seated for this one. Number three.
Good. Aren't you glad that Jesus paid it all tonight? He paid it all a long time ago, but we can reap the blessings today. Turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1. I want to say thank you, Pastor, for giving me the opportunity to preach. I know we were doing so good in the book of Job. I love the book of Job, and I was so excited. But then we got into his office, and he was like, when you got a message ready, just let me know. And I was like, I don't want to interrupt his conversation, because when pastor's got a flow, you know, he's got all that wisdom up there. And so I'm like, I got to listen before I tell him I got this message ready. And then I was like, okay, I have a message ready. So whenever you're ready to go, you can just plug me in. And he was like, this Sunday. I was like, all right then. So we're going to go to the book of Philippians, one of my favorite books in the Bible. But before we go in, I want to start us off with a thought. Have you ever been in a moment in life where you've said, I'm going to do this, whether it's getting into a sport or getting into a hobby or doing something at your job, whether it be preparing a message or doing a task your boss told you to do, and you're like, I'm going to do that. And then you're like, you know what? It seems a little too hard. It seems just like too much work. I'm going to get a little bit of difficulty, some hardship from other people around me. I don't know if I want to maybe go through with it. I don't know if I want to continue going in it. We just don't have that sense of motivation because our mindset is already brought down to a sense of, well, I mean, there's no reason to do it anymore. I'll give you an example of something I did that kind of had that in my life was college. Was when I started college, I went to Pensacola Christian College. And I started during COVID, so it was already a terrible start because it was just really awkward. We were still trying to figure everything out. And I remember calling my mom, like, Mom, I just can't do it. I don't know if I'm good enough at school. I just don't have the motivation. Mind you, this is 2 months in. We barely started. I'm like, I'm so tired of it. I'm like, we can't even go to a classroom. I have to wear a mask every time I come out of my room. I just don't want to do it anymore. But I praise the Lord, my mom and my dad and my siblings all called me at midnight that night and decided to give me some words of encouragement to say, hey, the Lord's got you. You can do it with the Lord. Just keep pushing forward. Don't quit on what the Lord has for you right here. And I'm glad they did, because I graduated college. I learned a lot. I met a lot of great people, and I learned some great life lessons through those 4 years. But we all go through a phase at one point or another where our mindset may not be right where it needs to be to get the job done. In our spiritual life, we all have a job we need to do. We all have one great commission that we need to get done, and it's giving the gospel to the people around the world, to the people around us. That is our greatest job. But I think we can all agree, we get to a point in time where we say, maybe I shouldn't continue doing this. Because everything seems like it's going terribly. Christians are being persecuted and hated, and we don't like being hated. I'll testify, I hate being hated by people. I like when people like me, especially my in-laws. I love when my in-laws love me, even though half the time I wonder, especially Katie. But I don't like when people don't like me. And that can sometimes pull us back to say, I don't want to keep going forward. But we still have a mission we need to do. We still have a job that needs to get done in the life of us as believers. And in this passage, we see Paul, he gives this encouragement. The Lord is trying to tell us, hey, you got to have the right mindset. We got to get our minds right and our hearts right to say, hey, we got to keep going forward. We have a purpose. It's worth continuing to go. So let's look in this passage in Philippians chapter 1, beginning in verse 12. The Bible says, but I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. Let's pray, and then we're going to get into this. Dear God, I thank you for this day. God, I thank you for giving me this opportunity to preach and to bring your word. I pray, Lord, that you would fill me with your spirit, help me to say what you would want me to say, and touch the hearts and lives of the listeners here tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. To give you some context to this book, the book of Philippians is one of the letters Paul had written to churches. But this specific letter, the book of Philippians, is what we would call a prison epistle or a prison letter, because this was a letter he wrote while he was in prison. And Paul, he wrote a lot of letters. You have Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians, which are the well-known prison epistles. And even all of his letters are pretty well-known. You have the letters to Corinth, the letters to the Romans, the letter to the churches at Galatia, all these letters. And if you've ever read those, one thing you're going to notice is Paul has quite a lot to say to all these churches, and quite a lot of constructive criticism, too. But one of the fascinating things about the book of Philippians, and honestly, the way the Lord worked in the life of the people at Philippi, is Paul really didn't have anything bad to say about them. He really was so joyful. From the beginning of this book, he says, I'm so thankful for you, for the ministry I've heard of you while I'm here in prison, of your testimony among people around you. He's just overly grateful for them because they have such a great testimony and ministry just in their church. Paul doesn't have really anything bad to say to them. And he starts by just saying, thank you. I'm so thankful for you. And he says, in all my prayers, I'm thankful for you. But then he kind of jumps into this words of encouragement. Now, when you read the whole book of Philippians, he's really not giving words of criticism. He's giving words of encouragement to push them in the right direction. Because he's not saying you guys are doing wrong and you need to fix this. He's saying, hey, this is going to come. You're going to run into these issues. And I want you to kind of go in the right way from the start. Don't fall and then get up. I'm trying to get you there already. And this is one of the things he starts with. He says, but I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. So he starts off by saying, I don't want you to get this misunderstood. He's saying, everything that's happened to me up to this point, especially him being put in prison, him being persecuted, him being stoned in the book of Acts, everything that's happened unto him has happened for one thing, and it's for the furtherance of the gospel. Paul kept in his mind that no matter what happened to me, good or bad, it was for the gospel's sake. But then notice what he says in verse 13. He says, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. He talks about, it's very interesting here. He says, because of what's happened to me and because of my bonds, everything that's everyone around me and even people outside of where I'm at have heard about my ministry, have heard about my testimony. We're in the book of Acts on Sunday mornings. You hear about the life and ministry of Paul when he started out. When he started out with Barnabas, when he started after Barnabas, all the places he went to, all his missionary journeys. He went through a good amount of the world, and now he's in prison. Do you think people still hear about him? Probably the king, who probably said to put him in prison, was like, we got him. We got Paul. Not just anyone, we got Paul, guys. He's probably telling all his servants, we got him. There's no more worry about preaching the gospel. But Paul says it different. He says, my bonds have made the gospel go further because everyone has been hearing about me. Because the king and all these servants and everyone in the town, they're like, oh, they got Paul. Why'd they get Paul? And they're like, he was preaching the gospel again. He kept preaching the gospel. Which gospel? The gospel of Jesus Christ. And people are like, oh, I heard about him. I remember the ministry of Jesus long, long ago, all those years ago, the effect he had on the people around me. And he says, that's what's happening. Because of my bonds, they're hearing about it, even in places that don't even know about me or haven't heard from me yet. We need to also understand nowadays that persecution is not a bad thing. It's hard. It is a hard thing. But the Lord can even use that to further his gospel. He can use that for his work. He can use that to work in the lives of the people around the world. I think it was, the Sullivan family, the husband who was taken. That went pretty viral. That went pretty well known. And people around him probably heard, hey, this missionary got taken. Why? Because of his ministry. What ministry? Was he the guy who was preaching the gospel? Was he that man who started this ministry in my country? It's kind of interesting. But yet he's not giving up. That might make an effect on the people around him. And Paul says that. Paul says that. He's like, I don't care what's happening to me. He's like, I'm okay with this fact. I'm okay with the thought that persecution is going to come my way. Because it's not about me. It's not about what happens to me. It's about the furtherance of the gospel. That is his whole purpose. That was the whole point of him going through all this. He says, I don't care because they're hearing about the one person they need to hear about, even if it costs me some pain. And I'm okay with that. One thing we got to realize, I mentioned it before, we don't like when people don't like us. It's inevitable that it's going to happen. It's inevitable you're going to go through some pain. When you step out, Pastor mentioned it this morning, how it's different being around it, and it's different stepping into it. Because when you step into it is when you start dealing with all the different consequences. That's when you deal with the actual pain of the ministry. But that's also when you see the great joy of the ministry. That's when you get to see the lives of people change. Because even in your hardship, the Lord's doing something great in their lives. But we have to be like Paul to say, I don't care if they don't like me. Do you think Paul, when these kings and these people, they all hated him, do you think he cared? No, because he had a different mission in mind. And he understood, it doesn't matter if you don't like me. Even Jesus said, they're not going to like you. In John chapter 15, he said, if the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. Jesus prepared his disciples. And Jesus was warning us too. He's like, hey, they're not hating you for you. They're hating you for me. And if they don't hate you for me, and if you're blending in well, there's a little bit of a problem. There's a little bit of a problem when the world is absolutely okay with us. When the world is like, oh yeah, that's one of us. Because he says here, the reason they hate you is because you're not of them. We shouldn't be. We should be a separate people. We should be different. We should be making a difference. We should be making them a little uncomfortable with what makes things a little uncomfortable. We need to be reaching them with this, and sometimes it hurts. And sometimes it makes them not like us. But much like Paul said, he's like, that's okay. Because our whole mission is to send out this. It's to give people this good word. That just fell out. So Paul, he kept in mind, he's like, I'm okay with it. I'm totally fine that's happening to me. But then he goes on further from his own persecution. Because now, in verse 14, look what he says. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak without fear. Paul is now moving on, and he says, because of his bonds, many of the brethren, referring to the believers, started to gain more confidence to preach the gospel. In a sense, they're like, because they heard what happened to him, they're like, okay, now we can go. Now we can step in. Now I'm going to take his place because somebody's got to do it. Albert Barnes, in his commentary on this passage, he explained it this way, that from the very fact that so distinguished a champion of the truth had been imprisoned, they were excited to do all they could in the cause of the gospel. This commentary, he's saying, he's like, because they saw this great champion, I mean, you want to talk about one of the greats. We talk about Mount Rushmore of believers. We often think Paul's up there. Because, I mean, he wrote majority of the New Testament. He reached majority of the world. And he's considered one of the greats. And his followers, the people who followed after him and followed after Christ, they said, hey, I'm going to follow and I'm going to fill in because I want to do the work he's doing because he can't do it. First of all, we should have people like that. Let me just sit here for a second. We should have people who are willing to step in when the person in charge, when the person the Lord puts for the ministry can't do it anymore. We should have people who say, hey, I'm going to step in because I want to follow in his footsteps because he's following in the footsteps of the master. That's what they're doing here. He's saying, you guys, he's saying many of the brethren are doing this. And it's an encouragement to him. But then notice what he says in verse 15. He says, some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. Now Paul's continuing this letter, and he kind of again goes towards a bad. Because now he's saying, some preach Christ of envy and strife. He's saying there are also people who are preaching out of bitterness, out of jealousy, we would say. Because you imagine Paul, he has this great influence. And some believers, because this is imagined to probably be believers, they're not unbelievers, but these are believers who are jealous of the ministry of Paul. And they're like, now Paul is gone, I'm going to take his glory. I'm going to step in his place because I don't want him to be famous. I don't want him to be important. I want to be that guy. I want to be the champion of the faith that everyone talks about. But he also says some of goodwill, so there is a balance of both. He says, the one preached Christ of contention, not of sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. Paul is saying, their whole goal is not for the furtherance of the gospel. They're trying to make my bonds worse because I can't go out there. I can't do my job. I can't do what the Lord wants me to do because I'm stuck here. I'm stuck in this prison. And now they're like taking advantage of it to make me bitter, to make me upset. But it says, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. So he's saying there's one who's trying to make my bonds worse, but the other who is preaching out of true love for God, they're trying to make me more encouraged to say, those are the people who are following after the guy I've been preaching about. They have changed. There is a difference in them. My ministry has a purpose because there is change in those people. And that's the encouragement to Paul. See, there's going to be people who are not going to like what we're doing, and they're going to try not because they want to please the Lord, but they want to do better than we are. They want to have a better church. They want to have a bigger church. They want to have screens on the wall. They want to bring in all these people. But that's not pleasing to the Lord. The Lord doesn't care about the number of the people. No, the Lord cares about the heart of the ministry. The Lord cares about why you're doing the ministry. And some of these people today, you're going to see it today. Some of these people today, they're going to try and make us discouraged to say, you guys have no reason to keep going because we're better. Just quit. Don't keep going. That's what he's saying here. He's saying they're trying to make me quit. They're trying to make my bond so hard, make me seem so bitter and upset that I'm in prison that I should just give up because they've already taken over. What purpose is there? But notice what Paul says in verse 18. I love his response. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. He says, so what? So what? Why should I care that you're preaching the gospel when I can't? Why should I care that you're going out and teaching the same gospel I've been trying to preach, but now that I'm stuck, I'm supposed to be upset at the fact that you're preaching to other people? Even though you're only doing it to make me upset, it's still being preached. You're kind of fighting against yourself. And he's like, Christ is being preached. Even if it's in a pretense of bitterness and upset and jealousy, he's like, Christ is being preached. Christ is being preached. And I therein do rejoice, yea, and I will rejoice. He's saying, not only am I rejoicing now, you keep doing it, and I'm still going to be happy about it. I'm still going to be happy because your mission is failing because Christ is being preached anyways. Paul, I love his mindset here, is he doesn't care that he's on the back burner right now. He doesn't care that he's not in the spotlight. Because it was never about him. It was never about Paul's ministry. It was about Christ's ministry. It was about the furtherance of the gospel. And Paul said, go ahead. Please, be more jealous. Try to make me more upset. Because Christ is getting preached anyways. And I'm going to sit here in jail rejoicing. Because my mission is going forward. What I've been trying to do is happening even without me, and that's okay. Us as believers, we get very jealous. We get very bitter because we love the spotlight. We love having all the attention. A lot of men love standing behind the pulpit and having all the attention on them. But it's never about us. It's never about standing behind this pulpit and having all the attention. It should never be about you. It should never be about me. It should be about doing what Christ called us to do and getting his name out there. Because if the world forgets John Harrow 100 years from now, whatever. Who am I to say that I'm that important? If the world forgets Pastor Hewitt 100 years from now, if this church forgets all of us 100 years from now, what did we lose? Well, we lost when this ministry was about us. We lost when this church was established on the people rather than being established on what it should have been established on. Our ministry, our purpose, our joy should never be that we're the ones doing it. No, we should be rejoicing in the fact that Christ even decided that we were worthy enough to do it anyways. We weren't worthy in the first place. We were sinners, but Christ saved us and said, hey, I want you to do the greatest work in all the world. That should be our joy. Much like Paul said, I don't care if you don't like me. If you want to build a church to go against me, that's fine. But let Christ be preached. Put me to the side. I don't matter, Christ matters. And that should be our mindset. That should be our encouragement. That should be what drives us, is Christ. That's why Paul was saying, I can rejoice. I can be happy in my bonds as long as Christ is being preached. The discouragement for believers is hard to watch when the world rejects Jesus. It is. When they shame him, when they mock him. You can watch on social media. It bothers me when these young people today, they will ridicule and shame Christ. It hurts to watch because they need Jesus more than ever. It doesn't hurt because that's me preaching. No, it hurts because they're mocking the Lord God who died for them and who wants them so badly. And that should encourage us to say they need it more. They need it so much more than ever because God still loves them. God still wants them. And that's Paul's mind. He's like, let them be reached. If I have to die, so be it. Let them be reached. They need Jesus. They need God. Let him be on the forefront. So continue. Notice what he says in verse 19. It says, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit. Paul's saying, this is going to turn to my joy. This is going to turn to my blessing. This is going to bless me. In the end, through your prayers, because you imagine all these people are praying for Paul. All these believers, they're praying for Paul as he's in prison. But they're also praying, Lord, continue this ministry. This is going to turn to his blessing, because when he gets to heaven, there is going to be a blessing waiting for him. And so Paul's saying, this is going to turn to my salvation, to my blessing, through your prayers and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. In verse 20, Paul kind of puts a bow on this topic and says, in all of this, he hopes and expects that he has done nothing that he would be ashamed of. That's what he's saying. He's saying that in nothing I shall be ashamed. He's saying, I hope. My hope and expectation is that in my life, I can say I wasn't ashamed of what I did. I hope that I can say I'm proud of everything I did in this body. But rather, he hopes that he's been able to boldly live a life that gave glory to God. He even says that he hopes Christ will be glorified and happy with him, whether it be in his life or by his death. This goes very closely to verse 21, because in verse 21 it says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. See, Paul, this is a very short verse, and honestly, this is a verse that a lot of people use to say, this is my life verse. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Well, when we look at the context, there's a lot more meaning to just saying, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. He's not saying, I'm ready to die. No, it connects to verse 20, because he's saying, I hope I wasn't ashamed of anything I did, and I hope Christ is happy with my life. Because for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Because Paul is saying, for me to live, I want to live everything for him. I want everything in my life to be to his glory. And for me to die, well, I'm winning. I get to go see my Savior. I get to go see him face to face. I get to worship him. I get to finally be free of my bonds. Not that Paul hates his bonds, but he's like, I'm winning. I'm winning regardless. Paul's mindset, Paul's whole thought with his ministry is saying, Christ, the glory of God. For him to live, for his life, he says, I want it to be for Christ. I want it to glorify him. And in death, I'm not scared of death. He could probably go to the king in this moment and say, King, you want to take my life? Take it. I'm not afraid of what you can do. Paul has the mindset to say, death's not my end. It's just my beginning. And that's for us too. If you are saved here today, death is not your end. Death is just the beginning of your eternal life with Christ. Death can be scary, absolutely. But why? Because a lot of the times we're focused on right here. A lot of the times we're focused on right here and doing everything for this moment. We want to say, Lord, don't come back until I'm done with this. Lord, don't come back till I'm married. Lord, don't come back till I graduate college. Lord, don't come back till I fulfill this dream of mine. But for Paul, he says, if he comes, he comes. If I die, I die. It's okay. Because my life is not for me to live. My life is for him to live. My life is for him, and my death is for him too. Because I'm just going to go see him anyways. Paul's mind, Paul's thought, Paul's encouragement to keep going was always Christ. He always kept his eyes up. He never looked down to say, man, I should quit. Man, everyone hates me. No one wants me to continue. Even some of my followers want me to quit because they want to take over. No, Paul said, for Christ. Everything for Christ. And in my death, I hope he'll be happy. I hope Christ will be glorified in me. Paul says, he's in the Bible in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. He says, for whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. That was Paul's life motto. And that's his encouragement to the church of Corinth and our church today. Everything we do should be for God. But then notice what he says in 2 Timothy chapter 4. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that also love his appearing. Paul's encouragement to Timothy at the end of his ministry, because Paul knew in that moment in 2 Timothy, he's like, my life's coming to an end. He says, I've ran my course. I gave everything I had. And I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go because I'm going to get that crown of righteousness and cast it at my Lord's feet. I get to say, Lord, I did everything for you. Here's what I got. Here's everything I got. Take my crown. I'm not worthy of it. Paul always wanted to give glory to God. Let me ask you, are we that same way? Are we that same way to say, in this life, I want to do everything I can to glorify God? In my job, in my free time, in my private time, in my public time, with my family, with my kids. Are we willing to say, I want to do everything I can in this life to glorify God? And even in my death, I want him to be happy. It's a heavy toll to bear, but it's the best one we can take. It's the greatest life you can live. Paul was so happy. He was happy. He was rejoicing. Later on in chapter 4, he says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. He's saying that in prison. He's saying that while he's being persecuted. He's saying, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. We can be happy, but the only way we can do it is when our mind is in the right place to say, I want Christ glorified. I want Christ to be happy with me. Even if it means I got to suffer a little bit. Even if it means I got to sacrifice a little bit. So let's conclude going into the rest of this. It says, but if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. For I am a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. So in chapter 22, he says, I live in this flesh. And he's like, the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose, I wot not. He's like, I'm kind of stuck between a decision in this flesh because I'm living here now. And he's like, in verse 23, he says, I'm a strait betwixt two. He's like, I'm kind of stuck in this fork in the road. He says, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Now, think about it. Is Paul wrong? No. Because if I was with Christ right now, it would be far better. But he's like, but he doesn't end there. Because he says, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Not for him, for them. Paul's like, I'm stuck between this fork in the road because I want to go be with my Savior. I want to go be with the one that died for me and saved me, because that's so much better than being in these bonds. But he's like, I have to stay here. I have to stay here because there's a mission, and it's you. It's the people. Paul understood. He's like, even though I want to be with God, I still have a purpose here. I still have a mission. See, when we were kids, in Sunday school, they always said, why didn't Christ just take us? Why didn't God just take us right when we were saved? Well, because we had some stuff to do afterwards. We had a lot of work we had to get done afterwards. If you want to look at how much work there is, hey, there's that map back there. That's how much work we got to get done. All that. But that doesn't just get done with one or two people. It takes a lot. It takes the body. And Paul understood, hey, there's a mission. There's a purpose for me to be here. Verse 25, he says, and having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. He's like, I have this confidence. I understand. I'm going to stay for you, because you guys need Christ, and he sent me to you to continue this work. Believers, church, this is our mission. Let me tell you, there's a lot of times when it's just going to be so much easier to say, Lord, take me. Like Elijah said. Elijah said, Lord, just take me. It's too hard. I'm the only one left. But God said, no. No, there's still a purpose for you. And by the way, you're not the only one left. There's still people out there who are following after me. Don't think you're the only one. Let us not think we're the only ones left. There are still believers out there that God has protected, that God is still using for the furtherance of the gospel. And he's still using people here too. The Lord can still use people right here. But we can't just quit, throw our hands in the air and say, Lord, take me away. It's too hard. It's too much. It is too much. It is a lot of work. But we can do it with Christ. We can do it when our eyes are focused on the mission, on the fact that it's not me, it's not about my purpose, it's about his purpose. And he wants me here, he wants me serving these people, and so I'm going to continue fighting. It's worth it. Because Christ is still living, Christ is still on the throne, Christ is still working in the lives of people, and there's still people to reach. There's still a lot of people who need to hear the gospel. And if the people of God aren't going to do it, who is? Who is going to do it? The world's not going to do it. So we need to. We need to step up. Much like Paul said, even if being with Christ is more important, we have a purpose here. We have a mission to complete. The Master has called, and I'm going to follow. Notice what he says in the end. We're going to conclude here. It says that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. He's saying, because of this, because I'm going to stay, because I'm going to continue, you guys are going to glorify Christ because of me. Now, I want you to get this, because he's not saying all about him. No, he's saying, because you're going to see the Lord do a work in my life, even while I'm in prison, you're going to glorify God and want to keep going. Was it not encouraging when the Sullivan's husband, when the man, he got kidnapped, but yet he was still able to reach the people who kidnapped him? Is that not an encouraging thought? Because the Lord still had a purpose for him, even in his bonds. Even in his persecution, that's an encouragement to us. And Paul's saying, you're going to see me, you're going to see the work the Lord is doing in me, and say, praise the Lord, I want to be a part of that too. I want to do that too. So I conclude with this. How's your mindset? How's your thought process on this? It's hard. I know it's hard. It's scary. Oh, absolutely. It's scary when you want to go up, knock on the door, Scary when you want to go up and give someone a tract or even talk to a family member, let alone a random person. It's scary. But you can also know there's a purpose for that. There's a reason for that. And there's a reason that maybe the Lord's wanting you to do it too. Don't quit. Don't give up. But also don't make it all about you, because it was never about you. Focus on God and watch how He can use you. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank You. God, we thank You just for Your word and the encouragement from Paul, Lord, that we can keep going, that we can have joy even in our bondage when we focus on You. God, please use this church. Help it to grow and help us to be able to reach the people around us, God. Please bless our evening. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Piano begins to play. If God has spoken to your heart, the altar is open for you. Says there that Paul said, I'd rather go be with Jesus. Rather go be with Him. But I'm persuaded, I'm confident that He's going to have me stay. For you. So that your rejoicing can be more abundant. You know what He said? I want to go. But I know the Lord's going to have me stay so that your joy could be more abundant. So I have to be here for you. Amen. I know it's a little bit light kind of way to think of it, but I was thinking about that. I thought, wow, this is really what Paul got it. And he said, this is all right. It's all right. Whatever happens. Amen. Isn't that good? Amen. Aren't you? I don't know if y'all get it. I don't know if you do. I hope you do. I hope you do what God has given us here. This young man, he comes up here and talks. Most of the time he's pretty quiet and unasserting, right? But he gets up here to preach, and you're like, man, there's an ability. Isn't that exciting? And Brother Eddie gets up here, and I'm telling you, the first time I heard him preach, I thought, man, that isn't his ability. God has given him something. And I'm so thrilled God's given him. We got some other guys that preach here too, and I'm just, we are blessed when somebody comes up here to preach. We're not just getting filler. And man, and God, I felt like his preach to me said, we don't need you. And so he started by saying, oh, pastor's wisdom to build me up. No, I'm kidding. But man, what a blessing. I'm thrilled. I'm blessed. I hope y'all are too. And so God's been good to us. And let's take what God gives us and let's live for Jesus. There's a work. Aren't you glad that it's not just for a few? It's not a few good men. It's all of us. As every part supplieth. Amen. See you Wednesday night.